All right, yeah. 4, 3, 2, 1. You are listening to Punk News Podcast 536. Punk News Podcast number 536. We got this week Sam Barrett, are you psyched? Are you revved up? Are you ready to talk about not EFTs, what do they call it? NFTs or funguses, something like that? Sam Barrett, are you ready to talk about Tim Armstrong's fungus this week?
Yes, I love mushrooms, so that's great.
Do you enjoy mushrooms on pizza?
No, I don't. I just like mushrooms sauteed or in a cream sauce with chicken.
Do you enjoy, what do you call it, portobello hamburgers? That is the portobello mushroom in place of the hamburger.
What is the point of having a hamburger when you're just going to have a portobello mushroom?
You could just have the portobello mushroom, indeed. And more, portobello mushrooms. Are you pro or con?
They always look so cool because, like, the ones I've seen, they're, like, filled with cheese. So it's just, like, a mozzarella stick but a mushroom instead of breading. Like, that would be pretty cool.
And more, are you ready to have your mind blown?
Yes.
I live about 30 miles or so from the mushroom capital of the world. What do you think of that?
Holy. What's the mushroom capital of the world?
Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. Mushroom capital of the world.
That's so cool.
Oh, my God. I think I went to a mushroom festival there.
Did you enjoy it?
No, I was 15.
So listen, people. A lot of people. Oh, Hallie's not on this week. Hallie will be on next week. She's shooting people up this weekend. By shooting people up, I mean giving them COVID shots. And by giving them COVID shots, I think she's like sitting at a desk and like checking people in to get COVID shots. So listen, people. Actually, let's talk about that real quick. So I'm roughly planning Summer Soiree 5 for November or even December this year. And I've been talking to some bands, and some bands are like, why don't you do it in the summer? And I'm like, the summer? I'm like, do you have a death wish? Like, I feel like everybody, now that we're, you know, getting there, people are easing up, but a little bit too soon. Am I wrong? Am I being paranoid and being overprotective? Or what's the deal?
You're not being paranoid. You're not being overprotective. I don't feel comfortable going to an indoor show with 100 people right now or possibly in the summer for any shows. If it was an outdoor show, maybe you'll find me there, but not inside.
and more, I mean, am I being a grandma here or like, if there's one thing that I've learned in life, and I probably haven't learned anything in life, but if there's one thing that I've learned in life is when you're winning and when you're, like, getting close to the finish line, that's not the time to slack off. That's the time to double down. If you're in a conflict, that's the time to go for the throat and really knock them down. That's the time to really give it the womp. Am I being too wimpy here?
No, that makes complete sense. Just, it makes complete sense, especially with something like this, because – like, it's mutating and all this kind of stuff. So you want to make sure everything's under control before, you know, opening up to more, like, risky activities.
I will add that I'm used mutating, and the word is that the COVID virus is mutating to a degree. The 80s led me to believe that mutation would be so cool when really, Sam, mutation sucks. Like mutants. Like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, mutants are so cool. But it's not that way in real life, Sam.
No. We don't want mutants, but it's happening. So mask up, get your shots if you can, and, you know, maybe we'll see you in the fall.
Has anyone done a Jersey Shore COVID mashup with, like, regarding the shots?
No, not that I know of.
Get your shots. With the shots. Listen, here's one other thing. Talking about revenge. So listen, Goodwill, people think Goodwill is a charity that does wonderful things and helps out people. Bullshit. Goodwill, the company, is a sham and a fraud. And do they have Goodwill in Canada?
I've never seen a Goodwill. We have, like, Value Village and, like, Bibles for Mission thrift stores. And,
I've heard of Value Village. Sam, you know Goodwill, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Sam, are you pro-Goodwill? Or do you have no feeling?
I have no feeling.
Yeah, so people think Goodwill is like a charity, but it's not. Even though it's a nonprofit corporation, they still collect profit, and the CEOs and all the executives make a lot of money. People think they're donating to charitable causes, but Goodwill is a nonprofit, but it's not a charitable nonprofit, meaning that they don't actually do any or very few charitable programs. Instead, they really just take the money and keep it. And so people think they're donating like, oh, I'm helping out. People think Goodwill is the same as Salvation Army, which it totally is not. It's totally different. And so people think, oh, I'm doing good. You know, I'm doing, but you're not, you're really just donating to some rich guy that's way richer than you are. So anyways, I went to Goodwill before Christmas to buy my mom a combo DVD VCR player. And the thing about Goodwill is Goodwill is shady as hell. Also, Goodwill says, oh, we hire people that have mental handicaps, and they do, but they only pay them like 35 cents an hour because there's this rule that you are able to hire mentally handicapped people but pay them below minimum wage because it's better than them sitting in a nursing home or whatever, which I agree. That being said, many, many mentally handicapped people and the representatives have come forward and talked about how Goodwill severely abuses that and pays way less than they should, which I think is true. They probably do pay way less than they should. So anyways, I got my mom this VCR DVD player from Goodwill because you can't buy them new anymore. And Goodwill is shady as hell, and I would say 7 out of 10 times the electronics don't work. So, of course, I get this DVD VCR player, and I put in the VCR tape. It chews it up in a second. So I take it back to Goodwill. I say, yeah, this doesn't work. I need to return it. And the guy's like, well, where's your receipt? Well, me being the bonehead that I am, I lost the receipt. I'm like, I don't have the receipt, but it's still got your sticker on it, and I got the credit card I bought it with. And the guy's like, we can't take it back. I'm like, do you think I put the sticker on this and then, like, made a fake credit card transaction? I can prove to you that I bought this here on X date. And he's like, you need the receipt. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to, like, get in a big fight with the guy over Goodwill. So instead of getting mad, I decided to get even. And so I took the VCR DVD player out and I threw in the dumpster and I plotted my revenge because revenge is the dish best served cold. So I went back like 3 or 4 weeks later and they had this pretty killer stereo set. Like not like a fancy one, but a nice one. And I need a stereo for my kitchen or whatever. And so it was 5 speakers, a combo CD changer receiver, amplifier, and subwoofer. And there was also a DVD player. Now, the DVD player, they price differently than the rest of the set. So I put them all in one cart. And I go up and the guy's like, the guy's like, you don't have to pull it out of the cart. Just tell me how much it is. So I gave him just the price of the stereo, not the DVD player, which was the same price as the VCR they ripped me off for. You see, and they really are all the same set, but they're trying to be cute, you know. And meanwhile, the guy that donated just thought he was like donating his like, you know, poor mothers, you know, in the Alps or something like that, or, you know, but it's just some rich guy that lives in New Hampshire. So I quite pridefully walked out with having paid for the DVD player and instead including it with my CD player set. And so I got my revenge on Goodwill. And listen, people, if you don't have a kick-ass stereo in your kitchen while you're cooking, I recommend you do so because it makes cooking and pretty much everything in the kitchen that much more pleasant. So now I have a very nice stereo in my kitchen because Goodwill underestimated me. They decided to make an enemy for life.
John, I feel like this should be the next Christmas episode.
Yes. Be stealing
from Goodwill?
Yeah. Like, when you said plotting my revenge, I was like, oh, this is going to be a Christmas episode.
Well, listen, Goodwill made a powerful enemy that day. They'll live to regret it. So anyway, let's play a song and come back. And more, you got a song and you want me to play a song?
I have a song.
Let's kick it.
So, just going to preface this a little bit. Ontario is in a third lockdown because reasons. And one thing that they have banned is live stream performances.
That's weird. Why?
What?
So if the live stream is going to take place in an empty concert hall, I'd just like to say that again, an empty concert hall, you can't do it anymore. Now, bands have done that, like Pup, they did it in Sneaky D's. It was very safe, everyone was tested, everything was A-okay, nothing was out of place, but nope. One of the things that is benefiting venues is shutdown. So I wanted to go with a Toronto-based artist or Ontario-based artist. So found this band a while ago, and they're really good. So they're called Fayaz and the Wasted Chances. They're like a garagey punk band. So I'm gonna play Dead Animals, which is not actually about dead animals. And that's our most recent single that came out February 2021. So enjoy.
I was biking on the side of the road.
Listen, we got a lot of news to cover this week, so let's just kick it on off. Big news this week in the world of record collecting, record store day this year, which is two record store day drops, which is similar to last year. So it's basically like two mini record store days. I guess the main difference is for the record store day drops, basically instead of like crowding into the record store, people kind of like wait outside and the shop either brought them the bags or you waited in your car and the guy brought you the bag or something like that. So anyway, there's two record store day drops this year, which is June 12 and June 17. I think this year it's going to be more like a mini, two mini record store days and essentially two just regular record store days. Because it seems like places are opening up, but we will see. There is a lot of punk on the record store day list this year. Beastie Boys are reissuing Aglo E Olio. I think they just re-released it. There's a Black Sabbath reissue of Mob Rules. There's a Buzzcocks reissue. It's a new compilation. Devo, there's a Devo Live EP. Devo's Jared Casale is releasing his long-lost record, Jihad Jerry and the Evildoers. There is, let's see what else here. There is Garbage's new album is coming out on Record Store Day. There's a Joe Strummer 12-inch, which is two versions of Junko Partner. There's the Cro-Mags reissue of Age of Quarrel, and we'll talk about that in a minute. There's a Ramones live record from 1980 or 1981, I think. There's a Desmond Dekker reissue. There's a Dose reissue, which is, of course, Kira Rosler and Mike Watt. And there's an Integrity 7-inch with two Motorhead covers. And there's two Police live records, which are really just the live CD on two different sets. There's another Iggy Pop live reissue. There's a Joey Ramone reissue of his first solo album. And there's a ton coming out. In the UK, there's actually an unreleased Crass Demos record coming out, which, oh man, I really want that. But listen, Sam Barrett, were you excited by this list? It seemed like a lot of people thought this was a better list than Record Store Day average. And of course, we always go back to that question. Is Record Store even a good idea to begin with?
So this list did not amaze me, but I would have to say that a lot of the most recent lists, like in the last, like, 3-ish years, hasn't really perked my interest to actually leave my house really early in the morning and wait in line in front of a record store to even get anything. But I did see that Alkaline Trio is getting, I guess, a reissue or something like that from Here to Infirmary, which I was like, yeah, maybe. Maybe I need that. Maybe I don't. I already have a copy, so I'm kind of like figuring out if I need a second. But I did see that, you know, the people that does Snoopy, Vince Guarini Trio or whatever his name is, they're putting up a baseball theme 7-inch, which I'm like all about. So I need to find that. And Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind. There's a soundtrack, apparently. I think that Record Store Day now is being done safely if the stores are putting safety protocols. I think, like, there's a record store in Oakland that was making appointments. So you had a special appointment spot, you had to reserve it ahead of time, and you showed up then to, you know, pick out the things that you want. So, like, you know, just as long as there is safe distance between you and the next person, I'm all for Record Store Day. I do believe that we don't necessarily need a day to celebrate records anymore. You know, I frequent record shops quite often, even with COVID looming, because, you know, we need to support these spaces and make sure that they're around after COVID.
Em, what do you think of this year?
I agree with Sam. As long as it's done safely, you know, get out and support your local record stores. I looked at the list. I do not have a way to play vinyl currently, but I was looking at it just to see, like, what was on it, and it was kind of neat. You know, seems like there's a good amount of stuff. I found out something interesting that I didn't know. So one of the things is by Neon Christ, and Neon Christ is the former band of William Duvall, and William Duvall is now the co-vocalist and rhythm guitarist in Alice in Chains. So that would be really cool. And Neon Christ was the punk band he was in beforehand. So that would be really cool to see, like, what that's all about, because those things are always really cool. Like, oh yeah, this famous musician was in this punk band back in the day. You know, it's always interesting to see.
You aren't. That's my favorite part of Record Store Day is like the oddball releases that maybe you couldn't get pressed otherwise. I will say that I think like last year's Record Store Day, like a ton of amazing stuff came out, and I'm glad I, you know, the Ramones live record, the Alice Cooper different live records. I thought all those were fantastic. I think this year there's a lot of reissue that I'm just never interested in a reissue really because like. I can just get the original, you know, I mean, unless the original is, like, super, like, Beastie Boys, Aglio e Olio, it's cool to reissue that, and actually, a bootleg was just rushed out not that long ago, but, I mean, you can get the original for, like, $25 on vinyl, so why get a $30 reissue? I don't know. I guess because it's premium quality pressing, I guess, but I will say that there's a lot of really interesting things here there's nothing here that actually I'm like super super crazy for, but there's some stuff here that I think is pretty cool. Like the Devo live record looks pretty cool. The Sublime record, I think I'm really interested in the Sublime record. Is it appears that it's Scientist is a very famous Jamaican remixer, dub artist, sound engineer. So and he's done many dub versions of albums, usually by bands including Wailing Souls, maybe Gregory Isaacs, all the late 70s, early 80s, June Joe Productions, Scientists did a lot of remixes. Like, the Scientists Rids the World of the Evil Vampires, Scientists versus Pac-Man, Heavy Metal Dub, those are all by Scientists. So it looks like they're getting Scientists to remix and do dub versions of classic Sublime tracks. I'm extremely interested in that. I really want to get that. The Hawkwind release is interesting. There's a very big compilation from the 70s called the Greasy Truckers Party, and that was reissued on three CDs, the complete concert, and it was Hawkwind, Can, and a couple of other bands, and so it's like three massive CDs. Hawkwind is releasing just the Hawkwind portion on record. What's interesting is the question is, do I want to spend $40 or $45 for music that I already have? You know, that's always the question.
John, you want it. Don't lie. You want it. It's Hawkwind.
That's true. I'll get it. I mean, who am I kidding? No, I'll get it. I will say the Iggy Pop reissues, I've been somewhat mixed on. And that's because for the past six Record Store Days, they come out with a live Iggy Pop record. But all it is, it's like one of his cheaply produced live records from the 90s, live CDs from the 90s. It's nothing new. But that being said, I've been picking them up here and there. And I actually like – they sound killer. Like, at first I was like, I'll just buy the $3 CD. I don't need the $35 version. But then I've been getting like the $35 version on sale for like $20 because no one else bought it. And they're like really good. But also the other hand is that I'm more about maxing out on Iggy Pop. Like, how many times can I listen to I Want to Be Your Dog? But that being said, it looks pretty cool. The Police, I love The Police, but it's really just a vinyl version of the two live albums that were issued on CD a year ago. I might get the Joey Ramone reissue of Don't Worry About Me because I don't have that on vinyl, so that would be cool to have. And I don't even know if there ever was a proper vinyl issue of that. I guess there was. The biggest question I have is the Joe Strummo Junko Partner. One side has the live version on the latest comp, and the other side has the acoustic version, which was on Strummer 101. Joe Strummer is awesome. The Clash are awesome. But I feel like we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. I think they're just proving that there's really not that much Joe Strummer stuff left to release. I feel they're just saying, like, everything's out there already, so let's just keep re-releasing the same stuff all over and over. You know, do we need a 12-inch version of Junko Partner? I mean, do we?
I feel like I'm having deja vu with just this topic, because, like, I feel like we've had a conversation about this.
I bet we did, because, they just came out with that new Joe Strummer CD comp, which is cool. But they just came out with the other comp, like, 2 years before that, so it's, like, weird. I don't know. The Crass demos is in the UK. Oh, man, I'm going to fight tooth and nail to get one of them. I really do want one of those. The other thing I want to talk about is Cro-Mags are re-releasing The Age of Quarrel. Astoundingly, official vinyl copies of Age of Quarrel, $80 to $200, even $300 each. CD versions, $40, $50, $60, $100. And that's because no one knows who owns Age of Quarrel. Is it Rock Hotel? Is it Harley? Is it John Joseph? Well, Harley and John Joseph settled, and it appeared that Harley took ownership of the name Cro-Mags, and that was suggested he took ownership of the album. However, according to this, the reissue is coming out on Rock Hotel / Astor or Astoria or something. And so the question did somebody buy Rock Hotel and they're putting out Cro-Mags not authorized by Harley? Or is this just sort of like I don't want to say a typo, but just a lingering thing that got caught over in translation, and this is Harley finally putting out an official version of Age of Quarrel.
John, I think you need to get the contract to this to figure this out. It's like, this feels like something that you really need to do in life.
Sam, if you only knew what I knew, you might not be saying it. And if you knew what I knew, you might be keeping a safe distance like I was. Anyways, listen, I'm excited. I think this is going to be pretty cool. I'm going to spend more money. I was going to record it. I don't want to spend that much money. I'm going to end up spending way more money than I want to spend, but I'm never sorry I did afterwards. It's like, there's the thing is you don't regret the records you bought. You just regret the ones you didn't buy, which is true. So I don't know. I think it's cool, and I'm glad Record Store Day is still doing its thing. And I think a lot of this stuff is unnecessary, but some of it's pretty cool. And I think it's good. Speaking of things that are maybe unnecessary, Tim Armstrong is releasing I think it's today. Today he released 5 NFTs. Now, people might say, John, what's an NFT? An NFT is a non-fungible token. John, what's a non-fungible token? Basically, it's sort of hard to explain, but basically what it is you buy unique rights to a digital file hosted on blockchain. And you don't even technically own the file. You only own the password to the file. So technically, you are the only person that can sign in and see it. Now, what makes it even more complicated is the author still has the copyright to it, but you have an exclusive right to view it, which is weird. And I don't know how much these sold for. I'm sure they sold for – I don't know if it was an auction or a straight bid.
I think they're still pending sale.
Oh, they are? No one bought one?
No, it's you have to make an offer.
Oh, so it is like an auction. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Man, Grimes sold one for like $1 million. I know that, and other artists have been selling them as well. So the two questions here is – well, three questions. Aside from the most – well, four. First of all, do you guys think Tim Armstrong's art is cool? Second, is an NFT something that we should bid on, and will it hold value, or is it just a stupid trend? And would you buy one? M, kick it off. Would you buy one of these NFTs? Would you buy a turquoise skull called Kevy drawn by Tim Armstrong? But actually, you're not even buying it. You're buying the digital key to look at it. Would you do that, Em? The exclusive digital key to look at this skeleton that I'm looking at right now, but I guess isn't the blockchain one.
Oh, I don't think I have the money. No, this is going to go for like thousands of dollars.
Actually, I'm looking at the office right now. This one, Kevy, is at $2,000.
Holy shit.
I think Tim thought he was going to get more, honestly.
It's crazy. And, like, I was reading about it, too. Like, they're not lossless. Like, you know, the image will deteriorate. You can get locked out of it. If you forget the password, you're kind of screwed. You know, like in a few years, years down the line, you might not even have access to it anymore. Like, I don't really understand the whole thing with it. Like, I was reading so much about it, and it's like, oh, this is going to be the future of art collecting. These are only going to go up in value or whatever. And then another one's like, yeah, these are just like digital trading cards. Like, who knows kind of what the end result's going to be. And then they're super bad for the environment, too.
Is that true? Is that, like, overstated, though? Like, how is this worse than, like, running your own computer? I don't understand that. Does anybody know? I mean, I've heard that factoid. But, I mean, like, how is hosting this on blockchain any worse than hosting a website on, you know, GoDaddy?
What I read with it was the blockchain uses so much like electricity and emits so much of a carbon footprint. It's on par with what a small country produces in a year.
I can't believe that. I mean,
something.
I believe that you read that, but I think people are just annoyed at how cute this is. And so they're coming up with any argument to make it look dumb, which I don't think – I think it's just dumb on its own. But I could be wrong. I'm not an expert here. I really don't know.
There's so many unknowns with it, you know? It's just
Sam, did you place your $2,300 bid for Cricket?
No, I did not. I'm looking at the one with my name on it. It's kind of just calling me, like, it wants me to,
buy it,
you know,
Sam. Buy it.
Buy it for, like, $2,082 or whatever. So I've been having a conversation about these weird little things, right? Because I also, like, have no idea what to make of this. Like, you know, I am heavily into artsy-fartsy stuff, but this is, like, beyond that because it has all of this, like, you know, non-fungible token nonsense attached to it. But, you know, it's kind of like I've been trying to figure out if this is somewhat like if you bought a one-of-a-kind art piece from an actual artist and you brought it home and you're just showcasing at your house, right? I was like, essentially, you have this painting on the wall. No one else gets to see it but the people that come to your house. the artist has the rights to it because essentially they're the ones that created it. But, you know, you're the one that has it. And theoretically, you can go and sell that, which is kind of like this, right? You could essentially sell this. Like, if I bought Sam for $2,082.51, like, you know, I could theoretically sell it to the next person, and hopefully it increases in value. But, like, I do think this one, the one I'm looking at with my name on it, is kind of adorable. Because there's an entire skull and a skull band playing something. I do wonder if he made the music for it as well. I don't know if this is going to be the next trend or if this is actually going to make a lot of money. You know, I'm old enough to be in the teeny beanie craze back in the day, and I have all of these teeny beanie babies that was supposed to make me money one day sitting in a closet. So it might be a teeny beanie baby one day.
This is stupid. I mean, this is dumb. There's no other way to put it. I mean, this is stupid. I mean, I think it's bizarre that you literally can buy an actual painting painted by Tim Armstrong that you own for cheaper than you can buy the digital key to something that everyone can see, but you have the rights to the non-commercial digital version. I think this is just a stupid craze. And you know, everyone talking about how broke they are, but who's buying these terrible, stupid things? You know what I mean? Like, is it that people are just so poor with their money, or is it there's people with so much money that they're willing to spend literally $3,000 on a stupid GIF that everyone can see? I mean, this is dumb. I mean,
John,
this is stupid. Yeah.
John, this is one out of one. It is limited to one.
Well, I mean, just so
Can't we kind of say the same for a limited to one vinyl?
I will cite the most famous reggae aphorism there is. Just because something's rare doesn't mean that it's good. And listen, Tim Armstrong's skulls, they're fine. I mean, they look kind of cool. But, like, if you were in, like, a high school and you saw this, you'd be like, yeah, that's what a high school student would do. Like, if it wasn't Tim Armstrong doing this, it was just some guy, like – like, I don't think, like, and maybe, Sam, maybe you could explain, this is something I struggle with, is Salvador Dali, Frida Kahlo, Pablo Picasso, the ear guy, what the hell is his name?
Van Gogh.
Rembrandt, phenomenal level of technique, right? Now, with other equally famous artists, Basquiat, you could argue that the level of technique isn't there, but the incredible ideas and new way that he uses ideas make technique irrelevant, and he's showing ideas more than he is showing, I guess, skill with his wrist and his fingers, right?
Okay, so I think I think we need to, this might be an entirely different podcast, because I, you know, with Basquiat and everything that he's done, he's a completely different error than everyone else is. But so Basquiat is, I like him personally. I like the symbolism of things, but you know, he, I do think that he knows how to paint, but he just chose to paint this way.
Okay, but, well, let me, folk art. Folk art, everyone would agree that they don't have the technique that Dali has, but that doesn't matter because it's a common person or an untrained person conveying what they want to convey in their heart, right? So, oh, go ahead.
But there's also the argument of what do you actually think is art? Because everything else is fine art, and there might be a subset of people that actually believes that folk art is fine art.
Okay, fair enough. Sam knows way more about art than I do, so I'm going to ask Sam this question. With this skull here that's winking at me, how can I tell if this is great art or this is just some guy? Because, I mean... I saw a funny thing. People were like, it's amazing how quickly like tech bros went from being my 4-year-old could paint that to, oh, how can we monetize on this radical new form of art? I look at Tim Armstrong's skeletons. I don't see an amazing amount of technique here. And actually, I would say maybe it's poor technique. And I don't see incredible ideas either in the idea itself or the makeup of the painting itself. I don't see anything that radically great here. Do you?
I personally do not think that I like it if it was actually a flat piece of work. But being that this is an animated something, it did give me a chuckle.
Well, fair enough. Listen, art is in the eye of the beholder. I just think this is stupid. I wouldn't pay a dollar. I mean, if I could resell it, then I would consider buying it and flipping it quickly. But outside that, like, if there was no value to this, I wouldn't pay a dollar for it. I mean, I just think it's not – I mean, I think there's way more amazing actual art that you can buy by non-famous and famous people for cheaper prices that is way better. Dick Lucas of the Subhumans. You can buy a Dick Lucas painting for $250, and they are amazing. You can buy a G. Voucher of Crass print for, like, $50. Like, why would I give Tim Armstrong $3,000 for a generic skull that, you know, my cousin in high school could have done, you know, or has done, you know, where I can get a Dick Lucas that he labored hours and hours over? I just feel like this is a scam. Sam or Em, if you strongly disagree, please feel free to say so.
Oh, no, it's 100% a scam.
All right, well, there we have it. Listen, let's talk about something that is not a scam, Bad Waitresses. They've got a new video out, and the new video is called Too Many Bad Habits. Em, tell us about Bad Waitress and why we should care.
All right. Bad Waitress, they are from Toronto, and they're really good. They're very high energy. They play really catchy punk music, and, like, when shows come back, like, I need to see them live because they're so good. This is just a fun thing. The first podcast that I was on, I played a Bad Waitress song. That was the first song that I played, which is kind of interesting too. They're so good. So they released a single and a video a few months ago for pre-post period blues. And this is their like follow-up single. Too Many Bad Habits, and an album is supposed to be coming out soon. And I'm really excited for the album because before they released their first single, they had an EP, or they have an EP called Party Bangers Volume 1, and that's kind of it. Like, they have that, and then they have, like, a few live videos on YouTube. So it's so nice to have new music, and just the video itself is really interesting because there's shots like that the band members film themselves, like, you know, just like doing stuff in quarantine, and then there'll be like live videos kind of interspersed with them, and it just like it's so so seamless. Like, I really like the way that they did the video, because it's like, oh yeah, you know, we're just doing this, but like we're thinking about this, and you know, like, it's a good mix of humor and energy, and it just, the video kind of sums up what the band are like. So if you haven't checked them out, please check them out. They're really good. And at the end, there's a zombie finger puppet, so you gotta stick around for that.
Sam, what'd you think of this track?
So I do enjoy it. I don't know if I'm gonna listen to it like on my normal rotation, but the video was really interesting. It kind of made me think about how much time I've been spending on my couch recently, like in quarantine. Because there's all of these couches, and I was like, oh, they're so cute. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I think I've been hanging out on the couch way longer now than I've ever did owning the entire lifespan of this couch. Thank you, COVID quarantine.
Well, I dug this track. I actually really liked how it had sort of like a Stooges, like a modern take on the Stooges, and like sort of a real low swinging kind of darkness, I guess, or looseness, and they kind of jammed out at the end. So I thought it was cool. Sam, Vinny and the Hooligans. Tell us about Vinny and the Hooligans.
Yeah, so they're from New York, and, you know, there's only so many bands coming out of New York these days. They're kind of like a rock band. So they recently just put out a new EP called You're Never Too Far Away. And it's a 4-song EP. My favorite song, I think, is called Road Trip off of this. So they recently had their drummer pass away. Their drummer, the original drummer, was Vinnie Value of, you know, all of the other hardcore bands. this EP is actually dedicated to him. The EP is also dedicated to one of Vinny Hooligan. He's the singer, childhood friend, who's also passed away. So came out, and it was produced and engineered by Pete, out in Little Eden in Asbury Park. I just found it really interesting that I think Pete is like the new person to be recording things with.
Pete Steinkopf of the Bouncing Souls. Also producing Crazy in the Brains. Excellent producer. Pete's doing great work, people. Dollhouse. Here's another band coming out of New York. Dollhouse. This is one of the bands that's really, I guess, the cool people, or is considered a cool hardcore band. They've released their debut EP after a demo tape. The debut EP is called The First Day of Spring. I reviewed it at Punk News. I dug it. I think it's pretty cool. The problem with like cool people hardcore, and not to have some sort of a complex, but like the thing with cool people hardcore is either it's exactly like every other hardcore band you've ever heard, or people be like, oh wow, it's radically different. I've never heard anything like this before ever, and it's just slightly different than standard hardcore. I think Dollhouse is really cool. I love how savage it sounds. I don't think it's radically different, but I do think it's got a little bit of a different vibe, and I think this band has promise. I think they've got promise to deliver a full length that is really mind-blowing. I think this EP isn't mind-blowing, but I think it's very good and interesting. And honestly, if you read the lyrics, and this brings up, like, if you read the lyrics are, like, extremely personal. And then it's like, well, at what point is it fair to even review this? If the lyrics, like, at what point am I reviewing the art, and at what point am I reviewing this person's deeply personal experience? Which makes it hard to review something like that. I did review, but I reviewed it anyways. So, you know, it's tough. The interesting thing about Dollhouse is I think the singer is Mike Caiazzo of a band called Mommy. Ty Miller of Lotion is in the band. The band also includes Hank Wood of Hank Wood of the Hammerheads, a very buzzy or post-buzzy New York band that's kind of like the Stooges, kind of like the MC5, kind of like New York Dolls, kind of like a DMZ. And then there's also in the band Pharmacon. Sam and Em, do you guys know who Pharmacon is?
Nope.
No.
Pharmacon is like a pretty important and pretty famous noise musician. And her real name is Margaret Chardet, or Chardier. And like it, like I'm not that into noise, but like if you're into noise, you're like, oh my god, PharmaCon is the new wave of noise. She's like incredible. So like she's like at the tip top of noise music right now. So I do think it's kind of crazy that like this band is kind of like a super group, particularly with Hank Wood and Margaret or PharmaCon in there. And it's also interesting that like in noise, she's like the top, you know. But now that it's in hardcore punk, which isn't even that removed from noise, like it's kind of not the same scene, but they're adjacent scenes. Like no one even realized. I had to do some real digging to figure out that she's in this band. And I think she has a pretty cool. I think she's the person adding the synths, and it gives it a cool edge. And so I do think that's interesting that you've got like a legend in one genre kind of secretly in this band, and people aren't even commenting on it, you know. So there.
How did you find out who was in the band?
I just went to Discogs. But like Dollhouse is one of these bands that like they don't have a Facebook, they don't have a Twitter. Even the label Toxic State doesn't have a Facebook or Twitter. They only have a website. It's like one of these things, one of these bands that is purposefully aloof, or maybe that's not the right word. Purposefully, it's hard to find that information about them. And honestly, maybe that's not a bad thing. Like maybe that's kind of cool. But it can be frustrating too when you're. It can be frustrating. It's like, hey, John, did you get the new Dollhouse EP? I'm like, oh man, I've been waiting for that for 6 months. Did it come out? They're like, yeah, it came out last week. It sold out. You didn't get one. You know, it's like, oh. You know, so I don't know. I go back and forth on mysterious hardcore. So anyways, let's play a song. Who's got a jam? Sam, you got a jam?
Yeah. So continue on my quest of bringing up Asian bands and to support the AAPI community and bringing out awareness that we're good people. I have chosen to play a song by Toe. Toe is from Japan. They actually, I think, is I think they're on Top Shelf or something like that. But anyways, I've actually had this song stuck in my head because it's quite catchy and all day, actually. So here is the latest number.
We saw a rainbow.
And let's talk about something domestically. Fest 19, which is going to be October 29th, 30th, 31st, 2021. They've announced their, not full lineup, but the majority of their lineup. They've included some new acts. Some of the new acts include Plays Mistaken for Stars, Chris Gethard, No Trigger, John Snodgrass, and the headliners of Fest are Hot Water Music, Gorilla Biscuits, Frank Kerner, Lawrence Arms, Murder by Death, The Wonder Years, Sparta, Good Riddance, Torch, TV's Bottle Rockets, Strike Anywhere, Modern Life is War, Comeback Kid, Tim Barry, and a whole lot more other bands, including World Inferno Friendship Society, which is way too far down the list. They should be at the top. Let's see. Any other bands that the listeners would you like? Warriors, Broadway Calls, Sheer Mag. Sheer Mag seems kind of far down on the list. I think Catbite's playing. Scottoons Network is playing. We Are the Union. So a lot War on Women, a lot of Orgcore, and a lot of ska, and a lot of, I guess, emo-ish type stuff. If you're into Orgcore, this is the weekend for you. Sam Barrett, I know you're traditionally pro Orgcore. Do you dig this lineup?
I do dig this lineup. I have gone to Fest a few times. I have survived Fest a few times. Because it is quite brutal coming home from a weekend bender like that. Thankfully, I don't drink. But yeah, no, I did look at this and I was like, oh, I really kind of want to go, but I can't because I'm an adult and I have stuff to do. But I'm kind of stoked to see, like, you know, Gorilla Biscuits on this lineup. You know, I love me some of Wilhelm Scream, so I'm always for that. Hot Water Music, they're playing, I think, is it A Flight and a Crash one night? And they're doing, like, Assorted Other Things another night, so that's fun, you know, because Gainesville, Hot Water, you know, yeah, yes, things like that, but, I'm actually stoked that, this band Banquets is playing. They broke up a little while ago, and they're, doing a one-off, and also seeing, like, people like I Like Ally, they're from Italy, somehow they're going to get down here, hopefully, you know, COVID's under control in Florida, we'll see, Florida's a weird place, so, so yeah, I hope it happens, I really want this to happen, because if this happens, then we can actually have good things happen, because I really miss crunchy guitars, and I really miss going to shows.
Em, are you going to fly down to Florida to see Hot Water Music do A Flight and a Crash?
Oh, no. I've never been on a plane, And then it's like, oh, I'm going to see a flight and a crash. Sorry. I think it would be interesting because, like, there are all these festivals like Fest and like Punk Rock Bowling, and like, you know, I see pictures and I hear people's stories and I read things and I watch performances on YouTube if they're available, and like it all looks like such a fun time, you know. So like definitely I would want to do that at some point. Maybe not this year, but like it would be really cool to have a full like punk festival experience. And I think the Fest thing's really cool because they have like comedians and stuff too, and I think that'd be pretty cool because you know, after all this, it'd be nice to just, you know, like laugh.
You need to meet up with me for Pooza one year.
That sounds good. Oh yeah, that's in Quebec, right? That's
yeah. Cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I hop over the border. It's okay.
Sam, are they doing a Pooja Fest this year?
I haven't seen anything yet. Who knows? I know you're dealing with a very strict government out up there right now. So, yeah. And as of right now, because I do keep in the loop when it comes to Canadian border stuff, it sounds like they're not opening up the border anytime soon. So, we'll see. I don't know. It's you know, it's interesting seeing, you know, while we're still kind of in COVID, right? That there's all these international bands on this lineup.
You see, Punk Rock Bowling has, like, no international bands.
Exactly. Like, Punk Rock Bowling, I feel like, is going to happen. There's also Punk in the Park in, like, you know, Southern California, and I think that's in November. That doesn't seem like there's any international bands. But Fest has international bands, and, you know, I kind of am a little bit worried about that because, you know, we might not be super strict or, you know, letting people in or out or whatever, but we don't know what's going to happen in October. You know, things could go back into lockdown. I don't know. Well, you know, it's also Florida. Florida's weird.
Florida does not care about COVID. Like, they really don't. But the other thing is Fest has so many bands. Like, if half the bands don't show up, like, it doesn't even matter because there's so many bands. You know, like way – Fest probably is, like, three times the amount of bands that Punk Rock Bowling has. Like, seriously. You know.
Well, that's why I said I survived Fest. Because, really, like, going to Fest – like, I went twice. And going to Fest, like, on Saturday, I was up – before 12, running to go to shows and then going to bed at 2. So you're on your feet all day. You're, you know, rocking out or doing whatever you want or trying to get, or you're waiting in line for a band. I barely ate. I hydrated, but I barely ate. So it's really like, you know, it's a thing. Pooza, I think for me, is a lot more feasible because I don't have to wake up that early. Because Pooza actually has normal times for things, and it's a much smaller thing, festival, but I also love Montreal with all my heart, and I love just being there and eating poutine all day, so, yeah.
You see, I mean, like, not for me to keep rehashing my one Punk Rock Bowling story, but that was such an awesome weekend, I guess. It's like, I literally got about 10 hours of sleep across 3 days, maybe less, like, because, like, Punk Rock Bowling starts at, like, noon, and it goes to, like, 3 a.m., like, the club shows, and it is friggin' awesome, and plus...
Are you talking about the one in Vegas or the one in Jersey?
Yeah, that's right. I've been to the Jersey one. The Jersey one is cool, but it's not that great. I mean, the Jersey one like starts at like what, like 4 or 5, and there's a couple of club shows that goes to like 1:30 or 2, you know, or even 1. I'm talking about the Vegas one, which is like the New Jersey one was cool, but they're not doing it anymore. I dug that a lot, but the Vegas one is just insane. It's not insanity, but it's like it's a lot of fun. I'll wake up at like 9, go to the record store, hit up In-N-Out. Go over to Punk Rock Bowling, be there all day, then go to the club, go to like 1 or 2 or even 3 club shows. One night I did 3 club shows. And it just, although I will say this year, the punk rock going lineup isn't as good, which I'm actually not that annoyed by because I like the headliners. So I can just get there late and then go to the club shows. I'm hoping the club shows are cool. So I don't know, man. We'll see. Fest, I mean, it's just not my thing, man. I mean, Sam, it's just not my thing. What can I say? I'm like, the only band, I mean, I love World Inferno. I like Chris Gethard. I like, I love Catbite. But after that, I'm running out of gas here, you know.
Sean, it's just not your thing. We get
it. It's not. All right, listen.
It's more my thing, and I get that.
Well, let's talk about something that is my thing. She, Struggling, Harsh, Immortals. Relapse Records is doing two releases on the same day. I think that's coming out April 23rd, so not that far away. The first release, of course, is the Zao reissue. Zao is the legendary death punk Japanese band from 1983 and 1984, fronted by Cherry Nishida. His band after Zao is Struggling, Harsh, Immortals. She. And they've got their new album coming out. It's called For Death. And it's rad, man. They released one track, or maybe more than one track, but they recently released one track called In the Mouth of Madness. And it is a fairly, I guess I would say, standard She track. And then it's kind of punkish. It's kind of metal. It has a slight industrial, or perhaps you could say, noise element. Not overbearing. And it's got like the heaviness of Neurosis, I would say, but kind of the raw savagery of like a lot of the early Japanese hardcore bands. And I dig this. I think this is, I mean, honestly, like the thing with this, like Zao is awesome. They only have six songs, or rather six studio tracks, where I think she has the ability to make an incredible full length with depth and character and style. I just wish they were making a CD version. They're only doing vinyl and digital. I wish there was a CD. But I dug this track a lot, and more. What are you thinking about Struggling, Harsh, Immortals?
This track was awesome. When they did the, like, the laughing and everything just kind of breaks down and there's, like, laughing and then there's kind of, like the... The whole thing, like the build up, you know, like it starts and it feels like it's at least two songs because there's like a turning point where it's just like it starts going. It was really good. I really liked it. I really liked the vocals. Just it sold it. It had like, you know how you hear things and then you just put like a visual with it. And everything, it had such a visual like response, I guess. It was really good. I'm gonna listen to more of them. That was really cool.
Sam, did you immediately buy the pre-order and then see they were also selling a t-shirt and then buy a t-shirt and waste shipping again and then they released an even more limited version and then immediately buy that so you wasted shipping three times and realized that you were a total sucker and an asshole? Or is that just me?
Yeah, I was about to say, is that what you did? Because I did not do that. I did listen to the song, and it is very long, and it did sound like it was two songs. I am not a fan of this. I think this is too dark for me. You know, not orgcore enough, maybe. But I do appreciate that, you know, an Asian band is coming, like, someone in America, someone like Relapse, is picking up an Asian band and releasing this to the world. You know, I appreciate that a million times because, you know, and especially right now. So I'm for that. So thank you, John, for buying it.
Well, speaking of something that is not dark, Catbite, they've released an alternate version of their first album. It's designated a Yeehaw version of their first album. And while the first album was basically a two-tone ska album, this new version is a sort of country western version. Sam and Em, do you guys want me to kick it off, or do you guys want to kick it off?
You can go.
So here's the thing, man. Catbite rules. Their first album is fantastic. I do talk about them too much on the podcast, but that's just because I think they're an amazing band and an interesting band and a cool band. But I should talk about them a little bit less. But they're always doing stuff, you know. So I think this new version is amusing, and it does show how really good these songs are at the core. That no matter what style you play them, they're good. And I did think it was really interesting that some of these tracks really did take to the country western style treatment. Can't Give You Love is like a Patsy Cline number. I'm like, holy, like this album would have been a quote hit even in the country western version. That being said, is the band I think might be balancing on precarious grounds, and here's why. They put out a killer album. It got some good buzz, and people dug it. They are, I would say, I wouldn't say they've done it yet, but I would say they are running the risk of squeezing the same orange too many times. A comparison is that band with the guy from Weston. What the hell's the name of that band? James Alex. What's his band?
Beach Slang.
Oh. Discounting, not talking about the whole problems he had earlier this year, but Beach Slang 2 years ago. They recorded their album. Then they put out covers of their album. Then they put out more covers. And they did different versions of the tracks in the first. They basically had the one trick and they squeezed it to death. To the point where people didn't care anymore because they kept doing the same trick over and over and over. And I realized for a band like Catbite in lockdown, that can be tempting. It's like we're sitting here in lockdown, we got nothing to do. Let's just do wacky stuff. And what is nice about the digital age is you can just do wacky stuff and put it up there. You don't have to put out in physical and spend this money and get distribution. You have a wacky idea, you can just do it. I'm amazed that they did seven out of the eight tracks of the album. That's a commitment, you know, not just one or two, like a whole seven. But the joke is funnier with seven than just two, I would say. And so I think it's I actually really like the E-Hall version, and I'm glad they're doing wacky stuff. I think they are on somewhat dangerous territory, and that I think the next thing they release has to be something new, and I think it's got to really pop. And I believe they can do it. I'm sure they will do it. But I if I were them, I would just be wary of squeezing the first album too much, because there's already a live album too, which is live versions of the first album essentially, you know, and a couple of new tracks. So I dug this. I thought this was cool. I would just hate for them to in their excitement and enthusiasm, squeeze something just a bit too much.
Well, I think I understand what you're saying with that. Yes, totally. But, you know, maybe they have something up their sleeves and, you know, you just don't know about it. And, you know, this is just, you know, something to, you know, pass the time until it's ready, you know, because I do know a lot of bands, you know, were locked up in quarantine. It does seem like they all went ham and was like, I need something to do. So I'm going to make an album or record this and that. And it is, you know, it can be pretty easy to record things if you have the gadgets to do it. Like, you know, we're doing this podcast right now. I listened to this album and I'm not crazy about the Yeehaw aspect of it. I like their normal stuff a lot better. but you do have a point that this could be overdone. But sometimes when bands reimagine things, it might actually be better than the first thing that they put out. So we'll see.
And what's your stance?
Well, I agree with both of you. Like, they're in, you know, this might just be to keep their name out there, you know, and prepping for something else, like some new stuff coming out. I thought it was funny that they called it the Yeehaw version, and the video, how like it opens with one of them yelling Yeehaw and it kind of ends the same way. I thought that was really funny. And like the cardboard cars and stuff, like that was good. I'm not, like, I appreciate what they did and how well the songs translated. I'm not a big fan of country music, so I appreciate what they did, but like, this is not my cup of tea.
Damn! Catbite takes some hard hits from the podcast tonight. Listen, people, Catbite is great. This is fun music. I dig it. This next guy might take some hard hits too. Offspring. They have a new album coming out. The new album is called Let the Bad Times Roll. It's out April 16 via Concord Records. And it's their first album in nearly 10 years, 9 years. The new track is called We Never Have Sex Anymore. Well, listen, I'll kick it off. I find it interesting that people are like, I can't believe Offspring's making bad music now. I can't believe Offspring is making goofy music now. It's like, Offspring always made goofy music. Like, that's what Offspring is. They're the pop punky guys that make goofy, kind of funny music. Like, what planet have you been on? Like, I can't believe Offspring is not, like, you know, like, fighting capitalism. Or I can't believe Offspring isn't, like, talking about, you know, like, drinking whiskey with their friends and watching the sunrise, even though everything in the world is going against. Like, it's Offspring. They're kind of a fun band. I never held Offspring in any kind of sacred throne that I never thought of Offspring as a band that could soil their name, because there's nothing to soil. It's like, you know, it's like saying, how dare McDonald's put out a hamburger with kelp on it? You know, how dare Burger King put out a hamburger with, you know, yellow relish? It's like who gives a shit? You know what I mean? You know, so I actually thought the horn element of this track was kind of fun. I think the song itself is kind of fun, although I do think the refrain, we never have sex anymore, I think it's ham-fisted. I think it's forced and is meant to be mildly shocking. So I'll say the song is kind of catchy, not that great, but I'm not going to lose one second of sleep over what Offspring does right or does wrong. And honestly, I wish them the best. They honestly seem like nice guys. So, you know, I think it's fine. If I was at a festival and they were playing, I would go watch, but I wouldn't buy this.
So, I've actually seen Offspring once.
Were they fun?
I believe they played one of the albums. My husband was actually reminiscing about it because I was talking to him about it. And I forgot what album it was, but it was like one of the more popular albums that isn't that bad. And the reason why I saw them was because essentially they played with Bad Religion in 2014. They played the Summer Nationals tour, so it was Offspring, Bad Religion, Pennywise, and Vandals. So they are fun. I would have to say live they are fun, if they're not playing their new stuff. Yeah, I feel like this topic is gonna go really far south. And I did take a look at this song and was not a fan of it. I did find it funny that they're playing with the Hives. Which is another band that I'm like, wow, that's another name I haven't heard in like a while. But yeah, like I hope they actually tour. Like, it looks like the tour is happening in November, and it's happening in the UK and in you know, Ireland. So hopefully they do make it out there, because again, like, we need things to get back to normal a little bit. You know, safely, of course, because if they can actually tour, then I can see music. We can see music, live music. John could have his summer soiree or fall soiree. Fall party. Yeah.
And did you run out and pre-order this, or would you get the vinyl version, or what'd you do?
Deluxe bundle. Yeah. Well, with the tour dates, it's interesting because they have dates in Italy with Lagwagon, and they were scheduled for later this year, and they moved them to 2022, and now they've planned a 2021 you know, like UK Ireland tour, which seems kind of interesting with the timing. I kind of think that the 2021 dates are going to get rescheduled. It'd be nice if it happens, though. Like, I want it to happen, so, you know, shows start rolling again. With the song, so I listened to it, and I didn't think it was a real Offspring song at first. I thought someone put it out for April Fools for some reason. So I, like, dug into it, and it's like, oh, no, that's a real song. That's, you know, that's them. So I listened to it again. It's like, okay, yeah, like I can see it and everything. I have listened to this song a total of two times. I listened to it once today, I think, and once, like, whenever the story ran. So I've listened to other music since. The horn section is going through my head. The chorus is going through my head, and it will not stop. And I don't like it because it's in there. But it's in there, and it's getting to the point where it's like, oh, yeah, this isn't bad, you know? It's like, oh. Oh no.
We need to fix you. You need to get fixed like instantly. I almost the title of the song, I almost feel like an intervention needs to happen. Like someone is not having sex and that might be a problem.
This is a cry for help.
Yeah, this might be a cry for help. Like, maybe your friends need to help you out. Maybe you need to get out of this relationship.
Well, let's talk about something that everyone loves. Spitboy, they're releasing their discography. It's going to be on Don Giovanni Records, and it is called Body of Work, 1990-1995. Spitboy is one of the classic Gilman Bay Area bands, sort of analogous to Bikini Kill, and people dig them. They have one album, a split, and a couple of 7-inches, and the new CD has everything on it. Although, actually, I think they released almost everything on a CD before called the Spitboy CD, but I guess this has a few more tracks. It's got a lot more tracks. It's got everything. So people are very psyched about this. M, Spitboy, are you a fan? Are you a hater? Or do you not care?
I was not aware of Spitboy until the story ran, and I looked into them and I listened to them, and like they're really, really good. And it's one of those things where it's like, how did I not like find out about them? Because like I love Bikini Kill and like Bratmobile and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, well, I guess they're not really. Maybe it's just where they were. I don't know. But anyway, it was nice to find out about them and listen to them, and I think they sound really good, and I think this is really neat. And on the Bandcamp, it said 100% of proceeds are going to National Women's Law Center, so that's always cool too. And I was confused for like the liner notes where it's like, oh, Billy Joe Armstrong's doing them, and then it's like, oh, but he was part of like the Gilman thing, so that makes sense. I think that'd be interesting.
That's a good point. Billy was getting a lot of blast back on this, and I don't even know if it was deserved. Billy Joe Armstrong is one of the two people doing the liner notes. People are like, you know, why is Billy Joe Armstrong doing the liner notes? He's some rock star. Yeah, he is, but on the other hand, I mean, he was in the depth of the Gilman scene, 86 to like 93. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I mean, I kind of think it's fitting. I don't know. I do know. I think it's fitting. I know that it's fitting. Sam, you agree?
It is fitting. It does make sense. He is a figure in the punk scene, even though some people might classify him as a rock star, right? I was like, he does have roots back into many things punk. So it does make sense that, like, you know, if anybody of this era that came out of the San Francisco, Oakland area, if Billy is writing your stuff, you know, liner notes or whatever, then, you know, it would make sense historically, you know. I am looking at this at the Bandcamp, and I do see this limited edition red black marble vinyl, and I really think it's pretty because it does match the cover. So it's coming out on a double LP, which seems appropriate for the amount of songs that they have. Although I do feel like, let's see, this is 26 tracks, 2 LPs. So each track is definitely 2 minutes long, which is very punk.
Well, there you have it, Spitboy. Everyone's a fan, and as they should be. We'll play a track, and then we'll come back. Let's play some Struggling Harsh Immortals. This is In the Mouth of Madness by Struggling Harsh Immortals. Gee.
Mm-hmm. use my strength to rear me. What kind of father am I? How am I? Where is my mind? Is the world going crazy? Or am I going insane? This is the world where no mercy has overturned. No mercy has overturned.
This is reality. You have made my anger.
And we're back, and that was She. And more. Any closing words? Anything you want the listeners to know about?
Wash your hands, wear your mask. Things have to get better, so they will. Shows will be back soon. Everything's going to be okay.
Sam, agree or disagree, everything's going to be okay?
I'm not sure if everything's going to be okay because, you know, this could just be the downfall of man, but...
It could be.
But, yeah. You know, definitely wash your hands, definitely wear a mask, definitely get a vaccine if you can, and don't be racist.